Greetings of Christian love to all this morning. Greet you in the name of our worthy Savior, the Good Shepherd of the sheep. This morning, I thought as we begin the sermon, I would like to just take a moment and sing a song. It just came to my mind while the brother was praying. I'd just like to continue with the thought from our studies in this book of John, chapter 10. Remember, the last sermon we had from this chapter had to do with Jesus, the Good Shepherd. And this morning, we want to take that thought a bit further and maybe zero in on just one aspect of Jesus being the shepherd and we being his sheep. But to help us to get thinking about that and where the specifics of this morning's sermon, I would like to get the church hymnal, look for 535, and then we will stand together and sing this hymn. I don't often hear us sing this song, but I would like to sing it this morning to bring our minds and hearts to what the emphasis is this morning. So let's stand together and sing 535. Do so. The shepherd's heart is saddened, his sheep have gone astray, through summer's heat and winter's cold, his sick, his sheep away. Some wandering sheep he's seeking now. Say, brother, is Thank you. You may be seated. The text this morning is John chapter 10 and verse 16, but to just get a bit of the context, I want to read verses 14 through 18. John chapter 10, verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and am known, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep have I, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. The text this morning is verse 16. The title, Other Sheep Have I, Which Are Not of This Fold. Other sheep have I, which are not of this fold. There's an alternative translation to that. It's written in the corner, on the center column of a Thompson Chain Reference Bible that says there, and it says here, other sheep have I, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. The alternative translation would be, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold. No, they shall become one fold. They shall become one fold and have one shepherd. This context proves to us that it is the purpose for which Jesus came, so that he could show the way for the sheep to follow. So he could give his life, so his sheep could have life, and provide a fold of safety for them. This fold, I believe, as was mentioned in the last sermon of the Good Shepherd, could refer to the body of Christ here on earth, but more precisely to a local body of believers. But as we continue to follow the Good Shepherd, our final destination is our eternal home in glory. Because Jesus, as he leads us through this life, and I know some of these thoughts I gave before, but maybe not everyone was present, and it does not do us harm to repeat just a bit. Jesus, as he leads his people through life from the day of their birth, and as they grow up in childhood, we know that there is a time of protection upon their lives. A child who dies in innocency before he has knowingly done wrong against God, has belligerently gone in his own way, he is safe. She is safe in the arms of Jesus. The scripture we read the last time said that he carries the lambs in his arm, and they are safe there. But we want to look this morning at what happens sometimes as young people grow older and they get to an age whenever they begin to do things that they know are wrong, and they do them because they want to do wrong. And they become aware with that age and with that time in life, something begins to register in the mind that this is not just a disobedience to my mom and dad. It's not just overstepping some lines that I know are established for my life. It becomes an awareness that this sin in my life is against the God of heaven. And they begin to develop an accountability before God. And that is part of what we want to look at this morning. But the Good Shepherd cares for those lambs and carries them throughout life. And then whenever they wander away, the shepherd calls them. They become part of those other sheep which are not of this fold, because they go away from the flock. They go away on their own. We will be touching some of this in a bit more detail later, I think. But Jesus came and he gave the teaching. He showed the path. He taught by example. He taught by teaching. And through the apostles, he gave us the path the path that leads us for in our earth journey, throughout our earth journey, through the ups and downs and the ins and outs and the trials of life and the good times of life and the times of blessing, he guides us and our path follows his track. But his eternal destination for us, we have yet not seen. But that's where he leads us if we follow him. And it says, the psalmist says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, because that's where the good shepherd takes his people eventually, if we're faithful to him. Psalm 79, verse 13. So we thy people and the sheep of thy pasture will give thanks. How long? We'll give thanks forever, it says. We will ever give thanks and glory to the lamb that was slain, the great shepherd of the sheep who gave his life. We will give him thanks forever because of what he has done to save us. And I realize this is somewhat of a review, possibly from the other sermon we had, but we're trying to focus this now on these verses we've already read here. Other sheep have I which are not of this fold. This morning, I believe we can say that there are two kinds of sheep. There are those who are inside the fold and part of the flock of God. And then there are lost sheep. Almost everyone in the flock today has been lost, or even now could become lost. If you're part of the flock of God this morning, does not mean that you cannot wander away. And if you are in the flock of God this morning and you're part of God's family, there's a high chance that you have been lost. Now, I realize that there are those who, because of physical or mental understanding, do not ever really come to an age of accountability. I understand that. Those would probably be exceptions, because there's a sense in which they, because of their limitations, remain throughout life as a child. But that is not the average. That is not everybody. Many, many people who do wrong today, as was already mentioned in our Sunday school class, it seems like God has this service orchestrated this morning so that even if we think about the deep meanings of the Sunday school lesson, it ties right into this. Because God, throughout life, sometimes brings those circumstances into a person's life for one simple reason, and that is because they are lost and he wants them to seek for him. We could, some of that we heard in our Sunday school this morning. So we just want to make sure that we remember that just because today we may be in the family of God and may be Christians and on our way to glory, there's a high chance that at some point in our life we were lost. And until we realized we were lost, we did not find the shepherd, and the shepherd did not find us. But he seeks his wandering sheep today out in the storm and cold. How shall he seek in vain to bring you to the fold? There was some heart-searching questions we just sang there. Isaiah 53 verse 6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. All we like sheep have gone astray. And either we're either in the fold this morning, we're part of God's family today, or we are not. Either we're inside or we're out. Either we're in Christ as new creatures, or we are living in sin and ungodliness. But let's always remember that just because we're saved today does not guarantee us a way into heaven, both now and forever, if we do not continue to follow the shepherd. Romans 3:23, a very common verse, I'm sure most of us could quote it, says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All. It excludes nobody in that case. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25 says, for ye who were sheep going astray, for ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. So he's writing here to believers, and he's telling us that most of us were sheep going astray, but now we'll return. So we can decide this morning where we stand with the Lord. Jesus and other people in the scriptures, even in the prophets, once in a while you read this little phrase that they are as people with no shepherd. That happened back when Micaiah came in before Jehoshaphat and Ahab. And he gave his word from the Lord that it was not going to go well for Ahab if he went into that battle. And Ahab obviously wanted to do away with him. He said, go and put him in prison and feed him the bread and water of affliction. But Micaiah just said one thing. He says, behold, I saw Israel as having no shepherd. And it means it was parabolic language to say that the king of this nation is not going to be living very long. But Jesus, as he looked out over that multitude of 5,000 men and women and besides women and children, said, as he saw them in various of the gospels you read, he saw them as sheep having no shepherd. And I was one who just would like to ask us this morning, as Jesus looks at you, as Jesus looks at your neighbor, as Jesus looks at some of your work associates and people you meet in business, does he see sheep that have no shepherd? And what are we doing about that? Do we have anything to do about that need that exists? I'd like us to turn now to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. I know these are common stories. But these stories, although they're stories that many of us have known for many years, they still have meaning for you and I today. Luke chapter 15 and verse 1, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the scribes and Pharisees murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep? If he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it. And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. And then goes on and talks about a lost coin and talks later about a lost son. As I think about the parable of the lost sheep, I think specifically about the first scenario that we looked at. I think specifically about the young person who grows up, possibly in a godly home, and possibly in innocency. He grows up or she grows up, and they like to sing their little songs, and they like to play church sometimes, and they although they do their bad things, and although they need to be corrected sometimes, and sometimes often, yet the things that they do are easily taken care of by a mother and daddy or someone who is watching over them, who cares for them and loves them. They can grow up and they can be happy. And after they have done wrong and apologized or made it right, or if they were corrected and changed their ways, they can have a very happy life again. And if you watch a child grow from 6 to 8 to 10 and 11, that happiness comes back after something that was done wrong is made right. We've seen that. We've observed that. They want to come right back to the very hand that corrected them. They want to come back to that mommy and daddy. They want to sit on the lap. They want to be close. They want to work with us. But the day comes in which that relationship becomes a bit aloof. They prefer if mom and dad are way over there so they can be over here. They prefer if any authority is just a bit more distant. That comes, that happens. And it's a little bit like that sheep who is at one point safe in the arms of Jesus, begins to kick and to squirm, and finally the good shepherd, in his love for the sheep, will just let him down And he very quickly begins to wander away and begins to go out there. And maybe sometimes they get involved in a lot of things they shouldn't. But eventually they hear a voice. They hear a voice calling, as Samuel heard of old. Deep in the heart, they know as they lay their head on the pillow at night, there's something wrong. They know very well that they're not doing what God wants them to do. They know very well that the Spirit of God is speaking. But if we look here further in the story of Luke 15, we also read of a lost coin. And I know that you might have 5 or 10 different interpretations of what this all might mean. But one time I heard about this sermon of lost in the church. Someone who is in the church. They're in the house, but they become lost. The cares of this life have swallowed them up. A secret besetting sin is hidden within the life. And they can look ever so right. And they can come in and out of a church setting. And they can sing it right. And they can pray it right. And they can read the Bible verses ever so clearly and nicely. But their heart is far from God. They can be in church membership and be a good standing Christian. And yet they're lost. And as God's Spirit moves among his people, they also must be found. They're lost sheep and they can be within the congregation. Church membership guarantees nothing if you're saved or not saved this morning. We hope that anyone who is a member is saved, but it really cannot guarantee it because we cannot always know everything that's going on within the heart and life of a person. We just can't know it. It is serious business, and yet God's Spirit is faithful, and God is interested this morning in the lost sheep, even if it's a church member this morning. And then we see in Luke chapter 15 the well-known story of the prodigal son, the prodigal daughter, the one who wanders away because the cares of this life just look so inviting. The worldly entertainment, the worldly music, the ungodliness of society, the ungodly viewing habits or whatever it might be just pulls and allures and attracts. And after all, them young people at church are kind of cold anyhow. They haven't treated me very good lately. And so since that just kind of gives them a reason to just push the lines a little bit and just get out there and see what the world has to offer. And what's this thing about rules and regulations anyhow? And so we'll just throw this aside for a while and go out and have a fling. And they may have been at one time part of the church, but they're now out as prodigals. They're out wandering. They're lost sheep. And the heart of the shepherd goes after that one this morning. Because Jesus says whenever these come back, there is rejoicing. There's rejoicing in the presence of God over one sinner that repenteth, over one young person, over one father or mother who has been wandering in sin. And although maybe the facade, although the face, and although the appearance may look all good, the heart is far from God. God knows it. Other sheep have I, says Jesus, who are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Can we hear the heart of Jesus this morning? Now, Jesus and his ministry seem to have an overall motto. And this motto, as far as I'm concerned, is summarized in Matthew chapter 15, verse 24. Matthew 15, 24, I'll just read it. It says, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Although Jesus came to be a witness and a testimony to all men and whosoever will, we find that becoming more and more prominent throughout Jesus' ministry. But Jesus' primary concern was for the lost sheep of his own people. The Bible says in John chapter 1 that he came unto his own and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, those few disciples, those few followers that he had, which amounted to approximately 120 in the upper room. It seems like although his ministry had some failures, as in Judas Iscariot and some others who turned their backs on him, the rich young ruler who would not except the costs of discipleship, it seems like his group of 12 multiplied by 10 by the time of the day of Pentecost, it says there was about 120 in the upper room. And we know from there it multiplied rapidly. As in Acts chapter 2, many were added to the body of believers. But Jesus had a special goal for his ministry among the people. He lived and served among them and eventually died among them on the hill outside Jerusalem. And he wept over Jerusalem before that and said, oh, how would he say it? How oft would I have gathered thee as a hen doth gather her chicks under her wings, and ye would not. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them. And then he says he would have loved to have gathered them in. And he wept as he said that. But eventually they themselves, the religious people of his day, the very people he came to minister to, were the very ones who took him out and hung him on the cross. And there he gave his life for you and I and for all who believe. But his ministry not only touched the lives of those of his own people, he touched the Syrophoenician woman when she came to him and says, Lord, I have a daughter that is tormented. Do something for her. And Jesus says, it's not meet to take the children's food and cast it to the dogs. And she said, yes, Lord, but the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the rich from the master's table. She recognized that she was not worthy. She was not of the house of Israel. And Jesus, when he saw that faith in that woman, and recognizing and calling him Lord, yes, Lord, but the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. When she recognized her low-down condition, did Jesus just say, get out of here. I'm not sent to minister to you. No. That daughter of that lady was healed. And I would have just somewhat of an idea that this lady was also among Jesus' followers. Maybe she didn't know everything, but she was one of those lost sheep that Jesus ministered to. Imagine the centurion when he came to Jesus and says, I'm also a man under authority. Speak the word and my servant over there will be healed. Did he have any faith in Jesus? Well, absolutely he did. Did Jesus care about him? Absolutely he did. He was a Roman. He wasn't a Jew. He was not of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But he cared for those. He loved them. There was others. Did you ever hear of the Samaritan woman? Did Jesus have any need or time to spend time ministering to her needs? All the marital problems and immorality that she was involved with? Did Jesus need to take time for her? Well, absolutely. He, as the water of life, offered her a drink. And she was soon evangelizing others. Jesus cared for these people. However, his primary goal was to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But as Jesus went to leave this earth, he gave a commission to his disciples. And I know that we often hear it, go ye therefore and teach all nations. What did Jesus say? All nations. And his charge to his disciples is that his people go not only to Jerusalem, but in Judea and Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth. That's all part of Jesus' heartbeat. And he gave that charge to his people who follow him. People who are his sheep and follow in his steps. He gave that charge to them. That they would start in Jerusalem, into Judea, into Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. He most certainly had a Gentile audience in mind. Although his primary in his life and ministry, his primary interest was the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That is true. But his goal was worldwide. He had a global vision for his disciples and his followers, including you and I, to look on the fields around the world for their white, all ready to harvest. I'd like to look just at a few words out of John 17. John chapter 17. Let's just see here what Jesus' vision was. Other sheep have I, which are not of this fold. Let's just keep that in mind. What does Jesus say in John 17, verse 20? Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. And if you think through the verses we just read, Jesus said that he's not praying only for this little group of disciples that's around him there at this occasion. And if you follow the story, you will see that Judas is not present in this little group. This is now 11 disciples with Christ. And he's praying for them. And not only for them, but for any who would believe on him through their word. And I believe this morning that that group of people that believed on Jesus through the word of the apostles, I believe that that includes you and I this morning. Part of the sheep that Jesus wanted his people to gather together, that they would be one in one flock, having one Father and one Lord. Over in Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. There's a lot there. And Jesus is concerned about the ministry of reaching out to anyone who will yet believe, that they may be gathered into one flock, that there may be one flock and one shepherd. And this morning, we notice in this passage, it was the heart of Jesus to see many come into his family. If we today claim to be Jesus' disciples and part of his family, I believe that we also need to share his burden for lost ones, for lost sheep. We go over to Romans chapter 10. I know they're common verses. You don't have to turn there if you don't care to. I'll just look at them not briefly here. Romans chapter 10, verse 11. Thinking about this subject, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Jesus' heart, through the apostle Paul here, is reaching far beyond the people of Israel. And it's God's heart that those sheep which have never heard of him would yet hear. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. If we go over to 1 Timothy chapter 2, and I know that I've used these verses probably in some other occasion, but let's think about it in this light this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 2. The title in my Bible says Instructions Concerning Prayer. But let's just see what the heart of God is in this passage. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for who? For Mennonites? For Mennonites' communities? Is that what it says here? It says, I exhort, therefore, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. For who? For kings. For all that are in authority. The men that work in the courthouse and the ladies that work there. The police. Whoever all. That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. And what's his will? Who will have all men to be saved. From President Obama and the kings and the rulers of the Middle East and the ones who have authority in the islands and in Russia, Putin, and France and England. He would have all men to be saved, from the kings and on down to the poorest and the lowliest and the ones who fill the prisons and fill the rehab centers and are dying in the hospitals. All men. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. And Paul clearly recognized his ministry, not only the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He reached out to them. We know that he did, because that was his own bloodline. That was his own genetics. But he took that way beyond to the lands of the Gentiles. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Jesus has great love and interest in the lost sheep. We, as his followers, should also have interest in lost sheep. Jesus went to heaven and left this ministry with the church. And as we think about this morning, I'd just like to encourage us to be involved in outreach locally and abroad. Be involved. Get involved if you're not involved. If you have a passion for souls this morning, there's plenty to do. There's a lot to do, not only at home but abroad. Just a couple more thoughts about bringing in lost sheep. Jesus has one flock. Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth God and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The Apostle Peter said in the house of Cornelius. And who was Cornelius again, by the way? He was a Roman centurion. He felt a need in his life. He had spent days praying and fasting, and the Spirit of God told him, send for a man that's called Peter. He's in Joppa. And then over in Joppa, Peter gets this message and says, go to this man's house. Why? Because he prays. He's praying there. And he said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth God and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. I know there's a lot there. If we go back to our text, we read something that's very important. As Jesus seeks the sheep which are not of this fold, it says here, and they shall hear my voice. As they hear his voice, it says, there shall be one fold and one shepherd. And if we go back to what I said at the beginning, the alternative translation, as they hear my voice, they shall become one flock and have one shepherd. In John 18:35, when Jesus was on trial before Pilate, he said, everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Do you hear the voice of God this morning? Do you read it? Do you read the voice of God through the Holy Word? Do you have an ear tuned toward the voice of God? Can you hear the still small voice speaking in your heart day by day? John 12, verse 44. Listen to the voice of God this morning through these verses. How Jesus describes his work in the hearts and lives of men. John 12:44, Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. And we can refuse to believe this morning. We can say, I don't want it. I don't care for it. I don't need it. We can say that this morning. But if we say no to Jesus, there one day will be one that judges us. And that will be his very word. Let's hear the voice of God this morning. Jesus says, he that is of the truth heareth my voice. Let's listen to him today. Let's do what he tells us to do. They shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Let's continue this morning the mission Jesus left for us, to seek more sheep which are not presently in the fold. Let's testify where we can. Let's pray for people in need. Let's look at souls as the candidates for the kingdom of God. Let's think about it this morning. I'd just like to ask us a few questions this morning as we thought about this subject. As you look at your life today, where do you stand with God? Are you in the fold or outside this morning? Are you a child of God? Or are you not? Are you one of those lost sheep? Or are you one of them in the fold with the people of God? Number two. Think about it this way. Are you part of the flock of God or are you lost? Are you in the fold or are you lost? Jesus' desire was, and his heart cry was, other sheep have I, which are not of this fold. Does that include you this morning? Does it include me? Another question. Are you wandering this morning? Are you fascinated with worldly entertainment? Are you fascinated this morning with worldly music? Are you fascinated this morning with impure relationships with other people, male or female? Are you just dazzled with that stuff? What about the vocabulary of our day-by-day life? What does it sound like? Do you hear the voice of the shepherd through the Holy Spirit calling you this morning? The closing challenge for us this morning as we face a new year. As we enter a year, we don't know how far any of us are going to get in this year. 2015 has passed, never to return again. We're in 2016 now. The challenge this morning for us is, are we as the people of God doing what we can in our day, in our generation, in day-by-day life to bring the lost to Jesus? What a blessing if it could be said of us as individuals and as a congregation that we have helped to bring in some sheep who were not of this fold. Let's kneel for prayer.